This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
They are one of the largest recipients of NIH funding. Their scientists played a substantial role in developing more than half the cancer drugs approved by the FDA in the last 5 years. Dana-Farber Cancer Institute has been making one advanced cancer discovery after another for over 75 years. At Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, what we do here changes lives everywhere. Find out more at danafarber.org/everywhere.
New quarantine rules for international travelers to the UK infuriate the country's aviation industry. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. Starting today, most people entering Britain will have to self-isolate for 2 weeks under new government rules aimed at stopping the spread of coronavirus. The rules apply to arrivals by land, sea, and air from all countries except the Republic of Ireland. The BBC's Stephen Ryan explains the response from airlines this morning.
International Airlines Group, the parent company of British Airways, has launched legal proceedings against the British government. So they're arguing that people arriving from countries with low coronavirus infection rates are not exempt from these quarantine rules. British Airways, bear in mind, is also in talks currently with unions over 12,000 proposed job losses. They're struggling with the impact of the pandemic, with more than 1,000 pilot jobs at risk. This claim has also got support from low-cost carriers EasyJet and Ryanair. Chief Executive of Ryanair, Michael O'Leary, called the measures from the British government a political stunt. And a number of MPs from the governing Conservative Party have also voiced opposition.
We've heard from airline companies. Have we heard from others in the travel industry?
Well, dozens of businesses in the travel and hospitality sectors are warning that the isolation period requirement could lead to lower numbers of visitors and that it could put jobs at risk. Manufacturing companies have added that because there'll be fewer flights in general, this will restrict imports and exports, hampering the recovery for small businesses.
And how prepared are the airports for these new quarantine rules?
Unions representing immigration staff, they've highlighted that at present there's actually no system for checking addresses of arriving passengers. They're also concerned it's a complex system. The union says there are, for example, 42 categories that are exempt from the current quarantine rules.
The BBC's Stephen Ryan, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, despite that spat with the UK government, airline shares are broadly higher today. British Airways parent IAG popped more than 9% this morning. It's now up about 7%. Meanwhile, the DAX is down 0.5% in Frankfurt. Fresh data today showed Germany's industrial output dropped 17% in April, the biggest ever decline. That's from effects of the coronavirus lockdown. And shares of drug maker AstraZeneca are down more than 2% here in London this morning. That's after a report the company is eyeing a merger with biopharmaceutical company Gilead. The two companies are helping lead efforts to find a treatment for COVID-19. AstraZeneca has partnered with Oxford University, but it's not the only effort here in the UK to find a vaccine for the new virus. Imperial College London is pursuing a social enterprise model, which means it's not working with a major drug company to assist in the development, manufacturing, and distribution process. Professor Robin Shattuck, the vaccinologist leading the research at Imperial College, explained why it's taking that approach.
Well, we're doing that because I think it's clear that the global community will want a vaccine that's highly accessible and affordable. Now, of course, there are other models. AstraZeneca have said that they will make it royalty-free during the pandemic. And so we don't want to say that this is the only approach. It's a new approach, and we think it gives us flexibility to work with a much wider range of manufacturers so that you can imagine that different regional centres will be able to produce the vaccine for their own needs.
Research is underway, and he says the first clinical trials are slated to begin next week on June 15th.
It's a phase one trial to look at safety, and we will hope to enroll up to 300 people so that if that looks good, we can then move to a large scale efficacy trial to see if the vaccine works in October. And once you know it's successful, then people will be queuing up to want to make the vaccine and make it available. We are already putting in plans to start putting together capacity to make enough vaccine for the whole of the UK population. We hope that the government will secure funding to allow us to do that so that it would be ready by the beginning of next year.
Professor Robin Shattuck there. Chinese exports in May contracted as global coronavirus lockdowns continued to weigh on the country's manufacturing industry. That could pressure policymakers to unveil more measures to support a sector that employs more than 180 million workers. Though countries throughout Asia are starting to emerge from their COVID-19 lockdowns, the economic cost is continuing to mount. And as the BBC's Karishma Viswani reports, some estimates say up to $500 billion could be permanently lost from Asian economies.
Birdsong and the roar of a few motorcycles. Not what you would expect of rush hour in Singapore's shopping district.
Hi, Ashok. Good to meet you. Oh, we're not allowed to shake hands.
There have been economic casualties, though. I met with Ashok Melwani, the owner of an iconic Singapore restaurant, Modesto's.
I used to jokingly tell my staff, Modesto starts with M. Don't worry, A to L must close before we close. Because, you know, we know that we can be quite resilient.
He's had to make the difficult decision to permanently shut down at the end of June.
For March, we thought it would be minus 40%. It was down well over 50%. April was down 82%. The only math I look at now is the cash balance in the bank.
Modesto's story isn't unique. Dozens of this city's best-known restaurants are shutting down.
Smaller businesses are most vulnerable to this crisis and also very important for the economy in terms of how many people they employ.
Priyanka Kishore is an economist with Oxford Economics.
If you look at a country like India or Indonesia, clearly, you know, the governments in these rising stars of Asian economies are struggling to address the huge impact that this virus has dealt.
Some entrepreneurs are shifting to new products just to survive. The machines are still running in Aditya Indra's factory in central Java, but these days there's not as many of them. And they're not making the T-shirts they used to for university students.
My sales were down 40, 50%. So I moved into making masks, just to hold on.
It's closing time at Modesto's, and the workers are packing up for the night. They don't know what they're going to do next. The lockdown has cost Singapore and other Asian economies dearly. It was meant to protect lives, and it's done that. But it's also threatened livelihoods. In Singapore, I'm the BBC's Karishma Viswani for Marketplace.
And here in London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.